M20, The Structure of the Christian Science Textbook, An Overview. Number 1A.
Well, the subject of today is the structure of the Christian Science Textbook. I present this subject on the ground of what I have been giving you yesterday in my lecture on the development of the idea of the science of Christian Science. And therefore I must ask those who have not been here yesterday that they are fair in the evaluation of my talk today, because it may be that I may be using some ideas, some expressions, some terminology which may be new but which has been discussed yesterday. What I'm going to do today is to speak about the structure of our textbook. And I must make it clear quite at the beginning that I'm not going to talk about the content of the textbook, only about the structure. That's the title, so I have to stick to the title. So all I want to show you that this textbook has a structure. Not so much what the structure implies in our everyday life and so on and so on and so on, because that would be much too big a subject. Anyway, the content of the textbook you have in the text of the textbook that is available to each one of you. But what was not perhaps known to all of you is that this text has a very wonderful, delicate, balanced structure. Now, this structure is not spelled out in the text. And those who have been here yesterday know why. Because structure implies facts plus relationship. And the facts are stated in terms, in words, and so they are in the textbook. Whereas the structure is a relationship, therefore that cannot be spelled out in terms. Therefore, the main point is for a student of Christian Science really to discover in the textbook the structure underlying all the facts that are presented there. Namely, to find out the categories that are used and the relationships that are being explained. So this is what I want to talk to you today. And I also want to state, because I speak to you as a non-member of the Christian Science organization, I want to spell out my credo quickly, namely that the textbook to me is fundamental to Christian Science, that it contains all what needs to be known on Christian Science. So that I do not need any other books or textbooks for the complete presentation of Christian Science. And all, therefore, I present, I deduce from the text of the Christian Science textbook. Did I make myself very clear? That I am not adding something to the textbook. I'm only investigating the textbook, and therefore I do not add a further revelation, but as we have seen yesterday, there is a great difference between revelation and discovery, and that Mrs. Eddy has called us to be a discoverer, and bear with me the burden of discovery. Having stated this credo, now we can ask, what is a textbook at all? Quite generally, what is meant by a textbook? If Mrs. Eddy calls Science and Health a textbook, then perhaps we should first ask ourselves, well, what are the criteria for a book to be considered to be a textbook? Perhaps most people have never asked that question. They have just taken the textbook and read it. But the point is that we have to ask ourselves, does science and health come up to the standard of a textbook? What is a textbook? What can we expect from a textbook in general? If I want to define that, I always feel it's usually much easier if one defines first the negative, what it is not. A textbook, therefore, is not a reading book. So whenever you have felt that the textbook is a book to be read, it isn't a textbook. You haven't read the textbook. You have read a text. It's not a reading book. It's not a book that we read and reread and reread, and the more we read it, the more we feel that we get something out of it. A textbook is not a collection of isolated truths. It is not a collection of unrelated facts. A textbook is not a collection of metaphysical aphorisms. A textbook is not, as what it is used mostly, a reference book. It can be used as a reference book, but the fundamental part of a textbook is not that it is a reference book. It is not a religious book. It is a scientific book, or it is not a textbook. So I have depicted what it is not, and perhaps each one of us could ask himself, well, didn't I consider the textbook that way? And if the answer is yes, we must be honest to ourselves. That is always important in metaphysics, that one is honest to ourselves. I must admit that we have not really used the textbook as a textbook, but as a reading book. What then would we expect? I come now to the positive definition of a textbook. What can we and must we expect of a textbook? A textbook must be a book that presents to us the fundamentals of the subject. That's important. It is the fundamentals that must be laid out, and the fundamentals of a science, if it is a scientific textbook, would be what? We have seen that yesterday already, that such a book would first have to define to us what are the elements of Christian Science. Then they would have to show us what are the categories of Christian Science, showing how these elements are ordered and classified into definite categories of the subject. It would have to show a textbook that it leads the thought of the student from beginning to end in an ordered way, in an ordered sequence, so that thought flows gently from the first page on and on and on in an ordered spiritual way to the end and the climax of the book. That would be asked of a textbook. Of a textbook, we would always ask that it presents a consistent, coherent system of the elements. Because only that system would show us why and how thought can flow in a sequence and an ordered way on and on and on. It would have to present also the whole subject in a final way. It shouldn't leave out any aspect. So the textbook per se is a complete whole and does not need any secondary book. So that the textbook would have to give us the whole body in the text of its pages, like a seamless robe without rent, I think you say, a web of consistency without seam and rent, all growing out from one root, from that one root, the divine principle. And Joel quoted yesterday that big statement which shows that, Mrs. Eddy said, that from the infinite one in Christian Science comes what? Comes one infinite principle. Comes one infinite principle. All right. From that comes what? A great deduction she shows there. And from this infinite principle comes the infinite idea. Now she deduces further to the idea. And with the idea comes what? She says, come spiritual rules and laws. Therefore the structure of the textbook would have to show us the rules and laws and their demonstration. So the demonstration that is given here is that the structure of the one infinite principle is being demonstrated. Well, I think if we have defined the meaning of a textbook in this way, we can see that if the Christian Science textbook would not come up to that standard, it would not have to be considered to be a textbook. So if we say to ourselves, well, I have never really seen these things in the textbook, I have never seen what constitutes the elements and the categories and the systems and the laws and the orders and so on, then apparently I have not seen the textbook. And if we have not taken the textbook as a textbook in its proper meaning, then we have built on sandy ground, and a movement that builds on a textbook that is not seen as a textbook must fail. It has no basis on which to build. And so, can you see that I have already stated the great importance that we ask these questions very thoroughly and very humbly and very earnestly and very honestly. Do we really see the textbook as a textbook? And if we have to say no, then we must not be really surprised that the movement that is built on such a book must disintegrate, and that it can only grow then when we have a sound foundation, a sound scientific foundation. Okay, I go to the next question. We have seen that the textbook is not readily to be understood, that it takes quite a bit to understand the textbook. And so it is quite natural that we have quite a lot of critics that come from the outsider, from those who read perhaps the textbook for the first time, like theologians, like philosophers, like thinkers of any kind, that they feel that the textbook is actually not the textbook. If we gather a little bit all the critics that have been voiced from various sides on the textbook, it isn't so much that they criticize the theology of Christian Science, but they criticize that the presentation of the subject that Mrs. Eddy gives is not scientific. And I just take a few of the critics from outside, from the theologians, philosophers, and so on, that I have gathered within the last few years. And I want to just enumerate a few of those critics for a certain purpose. They actually say that if you read the Christian Science textbook, that it is not a textbook because it just appears to be a collection of isolated statements of presenting single truths without having any connection with the next paragraph, that it is presenting metaphysical aphorisms, that the textbook presents the ideas in a fragmentary way, that it is, that's a very interesting statement, that they say it's a constant repetition of the same basic concepts, and mostly they say it has no order in it, that it has no logical succession of thought in it. From sentence to sentence there is no logical reasoning going through, that from paragraph to paragraph, from chapter to chapter, there is no logical sequence running through it. So that they say that the textbook has no systematized layout, that it has no categories, and therefore in many ways is paradoxical, contradictory, illogical, unsystematic, unscientific, unstructured. These are perhaps summing up what the thinkers, not just anybody who is not thinking, what the thinkers feel when they read the textbook. You see, naturally, in a way, we have compassion with them and say, yes, it is naturally not an easy book to understand. We, too, study quite a bit in order to be able to understand it, so one has a certain kind of passion against this criticism. And having a certain kind of passion to it, still, I think one feels hurt when one hears it. One feels hurt because inwardly, I think every Christian Scientist has a feeling of a great admiration for Mrs. Eddy, what she did, what she presented, and so we feel hurt if she is hurt by criticizing her textbook. We have a great esteem for it. My question is, could you disprove that? Could you disprove this criticism? That's the question. Just to feel hurt because somebody criticizes is no good if one doesn't know the answer. Therefore, who would be here who just could stand up and say, oh, I can tell you what are the elements of the science of being, what are the categories of the science of being, what are the laws of the science of being, what is the system of the science of being? Who could stand up and answer? I see nobody standing up. Huh? Well, never mind. But that is a very deep question. This is a deeper question than all the questions about the manual and the organization. It concerns the thing itself, science, the revelation, the discovery, Mrs. Eddy's contribution to the world. Are we honest enough to say, yes, I think I only believed that the textbook is a textbook, but I don't understand why the textbook is a textbook. Would you think you were as honest as that? See, these were the questions I was asking about 50 years ago, 60 years ago, and was asking and was saying, if as a scientist, I mean as a PhD, I must ask what is textbookish in that textbook. And nobody could give an answer. I ask you a few questions, and you don't need to answer, but it would be quite healthy to take stock of our own attitude or our own approach to the textbook. I would ask, would you know the fundamentals? What are the fundamental elements of the science of being? I would ask, do you know what are the fundamental categories of divine metaphysics? Because Mrs. Eddy speaks about the categories of divine metaphysics. Have you ever thought about what they are, those categories? Can you answer? The thinkers that read that want to have an answer, because that's the way other textbooks are written. Could you answer what is the system of Christian Science? Because Mrs. Eddy says divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system. If she has reduced it to a system, can we answer what the system is? Could you answer that? Could you answer what are the laws that Mrs. Eddy discovered? She said she discovered the divine laws of God. What are these laws? Can you define the laws through the elements of the laws? Every law in any other science is defined through the elements and the factors in the law. Can we do that? No, we can't. I can ask you another, even more pertinent question. I can ask, if you read, say, a page, two, three, not more than that, and you read it slowly and intelligently, and after three pages, can you know what you have read? Can you tell me then what she has been talking about? I have never met anybody who could do that. Never. That you read, and suddenly you feel, yes, this sentence I can understand. Yes, the next sentence I can understand. Yes, the next sentence I can understand. You go on reading and you say to every sentence, yes, that I can understand. And if after three or four pages you close the book and I ask, what has she said now actually? Could you somehow in a big line, as a red thread going through it, repeat it? No, I don't think you could. But you can do that with a novel. You can read a whole chapter in the novel. Just once, quickly through, and you know the story. Why don't we know the story of the textbook when we read the textbook? That's an important question. It means that we have not understood what we have been reading. That we haven't seen the thread, the line of reasoning that goes through, or we could remember it. Can I ask another question? Each one answers it for himself. You have read the textbook for ages, I guess many of you. If you read a chapter, a whole chapter, through, and you study it, and I give you a month to study it, could you afterwards tell me what she was saying? As an ordered story, an ordered development of the idea she presents in that chapter. I bet my whole fortune that you can't. That's doing a lot, huh? And I have a lot, you know. Yeah? Isn't this amazing? Isn't this amazing? Read that textbook every day. You studied it. If I look into the audience, I guess there are here some who have studied it for 30 years, some for 40 years, and I know that some have studied it for 50 years and more. And if I say, come on, tell me now, what is in the chapter on creation? I'm so tender that I take one of the shortest chapter that has only about 15, 16 pages and say, now tell me, what is the proposition that Mrs. Eddy puts forward in the chapter on creation? And how does she develop that proposition step by step in an ordered way? And to what conclusion does she arrive at the end of the chapter? Who is going to stand up here in the audience and tell me that? None. Huh? You see, that's the question. These are the questions. This is the crux of the whole future of Christian Science. That we are in a situation that where we have been studying a book and have not understood it. And no amount of study that has gone into it could change that. In a way, it's a tragedy. Think of all the energy that has gone into that book. Well, every tragedy has a blessing in it, namely that one says, oh, now I can see that I have to change my whole approach to the textbook. I can't go on that way. May I ask you another question? You have read the textbook for ages. Is there anyone in here who can tell me the order of the title of the chapters? What is the title of the first chapter? Everybody, I think, would know. What is the second? You would already begin to hesitate. What is the third chapter? What is the fourth? What is the fifth? What is the sixth? What is the seventh? You get already a bit confused. Huh? What is the eighth? What is the ninth? What is the... Now, after nine comes tenth. And the 11th and 12th. Does some objections answer come before or after the signs of being? Does physiology come before or after footsteps of truth? Do you know it just like that? Just as you know that 2 and 2 are 4? You don't? Yeah, you can say, well, this is not interesting to memorize this. No, that's not interesting. Not at all. But it isn't a question of memorizing, it's a question of understanding, because these chapters have a definite order that cannot be changed. It has a definite spiritual order that cannot be changed. Without it the whole textbook doesn't make sense anymore. So it isn't a question of can we memorize titles of the chapters, but it's a question of can we see the order sequence of the whole chapter or not. And if we can't do that, then we have never understood the textbook. No, never. Don't fool yourself that we can understand the textbook just by understanding single, isolated statements. I bet that if I would have said, is there a sentence in the textbook which you do not understand? I think everybody would have said, when they have studied the textbook, oh yes, I think every sentence is clear to me. That's possible, but that's not science. We have seen yesterday this would be the atomistic approach to science, but not the structural approach. And that in the atomistic approach, we never get to the whole, because we have seen the synergy principle says that the whole is much bigger than the sum of its parts. So the whole textbook is much bigger than all the individual sentences put together and piled up in our understanding. So here is the big question. See?